Industrial Talk is brought to you by Armis. Yes, you are in the digital transformation game. Yes, you need to find trusted companies, trusted individuals to help you along with that journey. The Armis platform delivers complete asset intelligence. You know what that means? Insights into your connected assets. You're in the digital transformation game. You have to have that insights into what is connected. Go to armis.com. Find out more. You will not be disappointed. Also, Industry IoT Consortium. At Industrial Talk, we always talk about education. We always talk about collaboration. We're always talking about innovation. And if you're a business that has any desire to be resilient to the future, you need to be able to educate, collaborate, as well as innovate with other industry professionals. That's a must. Industry IoT Consortium brings that all together. You need to be a part of this community. You need to be connected with these leaders that are all a part of the Industry IoT Consortium. Go out to iiconsortium.org. Find out more. Again, you will not be disappointed. You're just going to be happy. All right, once again, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk. And you will tell by the noise in the background, we were on site. On this interview, on site at IoT Solutions World Congress, you need to put that on your bucket list to attend in 2023. By the way, end of January, first part of February, Barcelona is the location. We're talking to Matt Hatton. Pretty cool name, right? Matt Hatton. And he is the founding partner at Transforma Insights. And what makes Transforma Insights, with an A, Transforma Insights so interesting is because in this world of digital transformation, you need sort of these Sherpas, these individuals that are really looking at the technology, looking at the analytics associated with it. Transforma Insights, Matt Hatton, team Transforma Insights are doing that. So once again, you're going to hear a lot of noise in the background, but don't worry about it. Listen to what Matt has to say. Enjoy the conversation. Matt, how you doing?
Yeah, doing pretty well. Are we still in that phase of post-lockdown where we're allowed to say how delighted we are to be back at live events?
No, not yet. No,
still allowed to do that?
No, you're still allowed to do this, and you're still okay to chirp on that, too.
Okay, good. Well, I am delighted. Yeah. It's nice to have actual FaceTime with people. So my organization launched in November 2019. So we had about 3 or 4 months of normality, and then 2 years of not being able to go anywhere and see anybody, so we're now just coming out of that, which is obviously.
So this is sort of funny because the way I see it is that every time I came to this event that pre COVID or pre pandemic or pre whatever, I was always fascinated with the velocity of way the technology is just going faster. And in this 2 years where we haven't been able to get together, it still happened, but a lot of people just sort of shut down. A lot of companies sort of backed off, and there was still this tremendous tsunami of incredible thinking and innovation and proceeding forward. It's amazing.
IoT has definitely not stood still in the intervening couple of years. That's for absolutely sure. In fact, funnily enough, I was talking at an event probably late 2019, and I was saying how it felt like there was a little bit of a slowing down in the market, a little bit slowing down in the technology development. So artificial intelligence, right? Artificial intelligence talk about AI winters, right? Where there's a bit of a lag between the new technology coming in and the adoption. And it takes a little bit of time for it to bed in, to make use of the arrival of whatever the latest technology is. Yep. And I think the same is true, that has been true of IoT. It's there was in the 2010 to 2015 time period, there was a lot of development. So you've got this platformization with software platforms making it much easier to develop applications. You've got new technologies arising and a whole new set of tools came available. And then the 4 or 5 years immediately after that, it was a bit of a bedding in period. There wasn't the really exciting and groundbreaking earth-shattering new technologies cropping up. But it seems like we've accelerated back out of that again. The last couple of years have been pretty exciting.
It has. And you are you speaking here at this event?
I am, yes. So I've got a session tomorrow, where I'm talking through our IoT market forecast, we talk about how many billions are connected this and millions are connected that.
Right.
They'll be in the world. And then in the afternoon, I've got a panel where I talk about innovation, what organizations that are adopting technology need to do in order to really take advantage of it. What do they need to do with their internal processes, with their horizon scanning? How do you know what technology is out there? How do you get to grips with that? So that should be a pretty interesting session.
Yeah, and we start talking about it. And one of the things, and I think this is an important component to consider, is this all great. We can collect data, right? We can do all of that, and that's all wonderful and dandy, and we can. And if you're into data analytics, you have a bright future. But what was interesting, and it's sort of an aha moment, you need to connect it, right? Mm-hmm. You need to figure out how to connect it. It's one thing to stick it out there, but then you need to connect it. What type of technologies are you looking at from a connection perspective? And I know that you filled out something, but help the listeners understand, you know, like that low battery type stuff, the satellites, what's taking place there, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, so some of the technologies that have, as discussed, accelerated things away in the last few years. There's been a bedding in of these low power wide area technologies that actually got developed in that sort of 2012, 2013 and before kind of time frame. But we've seen much more rapid takeoff in LoRaWAN. We've seen narrowband IoT networks being rolled out, FTM networks being rolled out by the carriers. And that's pretty exciting because it brings down the barriers to entry. You've got a device which can operate on a battery for maybe 5 to 10 years, which opens up use cases that otherwise wouldn't have been addressable. So that's pretty exciting. Now, and these technologies are unashamedly low bandwidth, right? So you might only get a few kilobits a second of connectivity out of it. But for a lot of IoT applications, that's absolutely fine. That's all you need. But at the other end of the spectrum, we also got now 5G coming into the IoT space, and they're making a big play for IoT. You're a 5G skeptic?
No. I'm not smart enough to be any type of skeptic. I am just fascinated because see what I do here. A lot of words, and a lot of words that involve 5G. A lot of words that involve around, you know, data capturing, everything around it. And I'm all fine and dandy. For the 5G conversation, can you just sort of level set on why it's cool tech and it's going to happen?
Why it's important. Yeah. Three things, really. Okay, one is much, much higher bandwidth, right? So you can probably support a gigabit of connectivity to an individual device. Now, you may ask, how many IoT devices are going to need that kind of connectivity? The answer is not very many. You're talking about an improved experience for a connected car. You might be talking about CCTV cameras, those sorts of very high bandwidth use cases. That's one. That's kind of an incremental change on what we've already got, right? Slightly better experience in terms of how much data you can transfer. Then you've got this concept of ultra-reliable, low-latency communications. And the idea there is that you cut the latency in the network to allow you to do, you might have seen crazy videos of people doing, remotely shaving somebody while they're sat up a mountain, or doctors performing remote surgery.
Yeah.
Now, do we think there's going to be that much demand for that? That I'm a little bit skeptical about. But it is interesting that you can then support things like augmented reality and virtual reality. You get a lot more of the capabilities to support that. So it becomes an enabling technology for the metaverse. Okay? Again,
that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, eyes glazing over a little bit, discussion of the metaverse. This is kind of interesting.
Let's venture into the moral component of it. There are going to be people that are just theoretically going to get lost in the metaverse.
Yeah.
Like the human person. Now, for me, I'm not sure if I'm into that by no means, but it's just the way it just.
I agree. But for me, the funny thing about it is, okay, we're in the technology sector, and technology sector is generally supply driven. Right, the technology. Invent new technologies, and then they try and find a market for it. And
build it, and they shall come.
Exactly that. But with the metaverse, you've got a weird situation where it's demand-led. You've got this use case that's being proposed of total immersion, rapid response, very rich experience. And the supply side is then suddenly a little bit worried about it. Hang on a minute. We didn't embed this. We didn't come up with this thing. It's not. We've got to find the technologies to be able to support that. So, for me, that's the interesting aspect to it. I'm not entirely convinced about whether we want this thing, but yeah. I suspect this thing is coming, whether we want it or not. As often happens,
it is. Yeah. But when you back to what you were talking about latency,
yeah.
And I thought that's an interesting. Somebody chirped about like autonomous car. Mm-hmm. You don't want latency in autonomous cars.
Correct, because you'll crash into other people. But the thing about autonomous driving is a bit of a moot point, because the clue's in the name. It's autonomous. You shouldn't need to be connected in order for the thing to do its thing.
But you know they're connected. You know somebody's going to say, hi, let me just connect this car here.
Absolutely, yeah. It is. And you get a richer experience, and for navigation and all those sorts of things, it will allow a better experience and a better product. But ultimately, that car needs to be able to drive itself. So the latency issue actually might not be quite such a significant thing. But you think about factories, and you think about production lines, and you think about the deployments of a lot of private networks. CBRS spectrum was auctioned in the US quite recently, and so there's been a spate of companies rolling out, particularly within industrial plants, rolling out 5G. Actually, mostly it's 4G networks, to be honest, because people haven't quite worked out what they use the 5G for. But the 5G is coming. And you can anticipate they're operating with pinpoint accuracy, a set of production facilities that are able to respond, like I say, with milliseconds of delay, and just becomes a more efficient production facility.
But the reality is that this genie has been let out of the bottle. We're gonna collect all this data. We need it. Mm-hmm. We're going to be using satellites, and we're going to be using every means of being able to collect the data. And then we're going to use whatever tools that are available to analyze the data efficiently. And what I keep on talking is if you, a industrial person, I just don't see any other way around it. You need to be involved, mm-hmm. whether you want to or not. It's gonna demand that you, or you're gonna go, you know.
Correct. It's the competitive differentiation of the 21st century.
That's it.
Is how I've described it in the past. It really does make that much of a difference. That greater efficiency of operations and process and so on. Now, there's a lot of hard learnings to be gone through between where we are now and the point at which every organization becomes an IT organization, and all of the capabilities that are being delivered are actually driving the efficiencies in organizations. But it does come. And if you're one of the laggards, you're going to struggle. You'll lose market share, and eventually you'll be pushed out of the market. It's inevitable, as far as I can see.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think that there are plenty at this particular conference that are pushing the envelope, that are constantly discovering new use cases that could not have been realized or didn't understand it 5 years ago. Mm.
So we talk about something called the thin IoT stack.
Okay.
I'll explain.
Hold on. I just got to interrupt real quick. I love the fact that there's a whole new lexicon that's always constantly being generated. And I'm going, oh, there's a new one.
Yeah.
Thin now.
Well, we're desperate to come up with any term that will grab the attention and that people will hook onto. Right?
Yeah.
So that's in large part, it's an analyst thing, because we want our baby, the thing that we've thought of, to be the one that everybody picks up on. Right. Yeah. So now my co-founder, Jim Morris, actually got exactly that thing with the low power wide area technology. You'll see a lot of people talk about LPWAN. He came up with that term.
Ah.
Now I'm on catch up now. I've got to try and come up with my own term. So thin IoT is the one I'm trying to push at the moment. But anyway, the principle is...
So let me see. That's T-I-O-T.
Yeah, possibly. But so you've got a stack. You've got an IoT stack. You've got devices. You've got
yes.
operating systems. You've got middleware. You've got connectivity. You've got all of these various different elements of an IoT stack. And over the course of the last, mostly over the course of the last 10 years, but before that, you've had a gradual refinement, each one of them. Okay, so you take the operating systems. Yep. You've probably got a dozen embedded operating systems, operating systems that are specifically designed with IoT constrained environments in mind. And that reduces the barriers to entry. Same with the low power technologies that I talked about earlier. Reduces the barriers to entry, reduces the complexity of deploying. And as you go through this stack, as you get more efficiencies in all of these different elements, the hardware, the software, the connectivity, and so forth, it opens up new use cases. And you combine it all, it gradually opens up all sorts of things that we might not have thought was possible to do. I was just talking to a company called Ignion, and they make software-defined antennas. Okay, so the idea being you can tweak your antenna according to whatever the parameters of how the thing is, the device is deployed, right, rather than thinking, right, okay, I know how I want my antenna to work before I even put the device in the field. They have it software defined. And again, that opens up potentially some use cases that might not have been otherwise viable to do. And it's these increments and these little additions and these little developments that really help it all take.
There's a book out there that I've been reading, and of course I have a vapor lock brain, so I can't remember what the name of the book, but go out to Industrial Talk, I'll have one there, the name of it. However, it's the convergence of technology. And so somebody might be over here doing something with IoT, and somebody might be over here talking neural net, and somebody, and then they realize that, oh my gosh, here's two technologies that could work together. New use case. We need to do it and stick it in here, and it's going to, you know, generate these type of values. And mm-hmm. and so that's the world you live in.
It absolutely is. It's pretty cool. And I think you can't take an individual technology and just think about that individual technology, yeah, right? It's a lot about how they interact with each other. And I've described, particularly we talk a lot about IoT and AI and edge computing. And I've talked about that in the past being like three kids under a long overcoat, like pretending to be one big technology.
I'm taller now.
Exactly. Realistically, we're one big technology. And they are, because most of what happens in AI is going to happen as close to the thing that it's controlling, yes, as is possible. Yes. And then you get into edge computing, and then that thing needs to be connected, and so on. So effectively, they're three technologies that just all overlap and interact.
Well, I can keep on talking about this all day long, but we don't have that luxury or time. How does somebody get a hold of you there, Matt?
Take a look at our website, transformerinsights.com, transform with an A.
That's
a whole point that out.
Let me just sort of put this is another challenge that happens within the industry. They've got to try to find the URL, and it has to be sort of this blending of different needs that communicates what we do, yet nobody knows how to spell. But that doesn't matter, because we're in the world of innovation. That's what it's about. All right, we're once again broadcasting live from IoT Solutions World Congress. Barcelona is the town. Fabulous professionals, incredible companies, solving problems. Absolutely wonderful venue. Put this on your bucket list. It's a must. Where they're also sponsored with, and I'm going to do this, Industry IoT Consortium. Go out to their website. And again, you're in the IoT world, that is a place to go. All right. Again, we're going to be broadcasting live all week from this event. So stay tuned. We're going to have another great conversation shortly. Matt, you were fantastic.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Once again, thank you. Thank you so much for supporting Industrial Talk and joining me on this journey to educate myself with some of the best leaders in industry. Be a sponge. Come learn with me. And a hearty thank you to Manhattan. Transforma Insights is the company. Go out to there. That's transformainsights.com. Find out more. You need to be a part of educating. And I know that they're doing their part to really bring about some solid insights into what's taking place with digital transformation. What are some of the avenues that one can take? And I guarantee you, just like Matt, they're an open book. Well, you know, reach out to them. I'm out on his stat card. It's impressive out on LinkedIn.
All right. Paper, pencil. I'd like for you to put down 2022 IoT Solutions World Congress. It is in Barcelona. It's a fabulous venue. They do a great job putting on a wonderful conference. And again, incredible individuals are attending the event. So you need to be a part of it because you need to be about educating, collaborating, like Matt Hatton, and innovating, because we want to make sure that you succeed in the future. Your businesses, your manufacturing, whatever it might be, succeed in the future, and that requires you educate and collaborate. So be bold, be brave, dare greatly. As always, hang out with people like Matt, and you will be changing the world. We're going to have another great conversation from IoT Solutions World Congress shortly, so do not go away. Stay tuned.